Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yugumo Amud Bet at the bottom by the two dots. The Mishnah mentions people who are specifically good at their professions, whether they were the Ksherim, Bechol Dorot, or whether they were a single generation in which they were the people hired in the Mikdash to do these jobs. We have here Nechunya Chofesh Yechim. It was the one who dug out the cisterns or the water sources for the people. Shayat Chofer Shichimu Me'arot. He dug out these water cisterns or caves. V'haba Yodo, high cave. He would know which cave. Cave means cella, which bedrock mikorer maya. Now, whether it means, it could here be mean cold water, or whether it means that it had sources of water. It could be one of the two. I mean that he knew where the springs were, or he knew where to get feeds for cold water. V'hadein keif itbei sravruve. And which cella, which rock had in it tsinorot, which are basically crevices or fissures. V'adcheichan sravruvute matia. And how far those crevices or fissures went, so he knew where to dig in order to hit the water. And it seems like he was excellent at both digging cisterns that were fed by the rainwater above, but also fed by the springs or the fissures that were underneath it. So now we have Amar Rabbi, probably should be Acha, who's a fourth generation Amora. Umeit, now here in our Gemara it says Beno, that probably was not the original Yushalmi's Girso of Beno, but rather Meit Bitsama, that he passed away from thirst. Or the alternative, which is probably based on the Bavli, we'll talk about that in a second, was that his son passed away from thirst, from not having water. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Manda Amar Rachmano Vatran, whoever says that God forgives, and God lets things go without taking any retribution or without tshuva, Yit Vatron Bnei Muyai, then Niftechu, the Yit Vatron means like to open up his intestines or his stomach. Here it could mean one of two things. It could either mean literally his stomach or intestines should open up, or it could mean that it's loosening his stool, that he should have shul shul. This person doesn't understand that God doesn't just let go of things. Ella, marich ruchei, which is the same thing as erech hapayim. He has patience about it. V'gabi didei. In the end, he takes retribution, he collects on what is deserved. Amar Rabbi Acha, so this is the same Rabbi Acha up before, spoke about this Nechunya Chofer Shichim, who either he passed away or his son passed away from thirst. He says, in that context, Ktiv, Pasuk says, Usvivav nis'ara me'od. Around the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's very stormy. The Rasha that he makes is, Mikdaktek imahem kechut ha-se'ara. That Svivav means the tzaddikim, those that are close to him. Mikdaktek imahem, he's careful with them, kechut ha-se'ara. Like the thread of hair, that he's not mevater whatsoever on his tzaddikim, and they are held to a higher standard because they are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Yossi, if it's Amar Rabbi Yossi, then he's a fourth generation Amora. If it's Rabbi Yossi Beribi Bon, which you see in the parentheses, then it's a fifth generation Amora from Eretz Yisrael. Lo mitamazeh, it's not from this reason, not from this pasuk, elamin madichti, but rather from another pasuk, which is Benora, the word who doesn't appear in the pasuk, Benora al kosvivav. He is awesome or fearful unto those that are around him. So the psukim that we're quoting are, the first one we quoted was Yavo Elokeinu va'al yecherash eish lefanav tochel usvivav nis'ara me'od. Talking about the tempest or the storminess around the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And around is those that are close to him. For those that are close to him, it's a much more difficult ride because Hashem is much more meductate itam because they are closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The higher you are, the farther you can fall, the higher that you are, the more you're held accountable. Second pasuk they quote, which you'd be familiar with from Slichot, which is Kel Ne'aratz Bisod Kedoshim Rabbah V'Nora Al Kol Svivav, which we quote during Slichot. But that again is V'Nora Al Kol Svivav, is that he is Nora, awesome to those that are around him. There is much greater fear to those that are closer to him. Here the meaning is V'Nora Al Kol Svivav is Moro'o Alakrovim Yoter Min Arachokim. His fear, his awesomeness is more apparent to those that are close to him than those that are further away from him. So here you have statements reflecting on the fact that either Nechunya Chofer Shichim passed away from thirst, or one of his children, that his son passed away from thirst, that despite the fact that his job or what he did was to provide water for people, nevertheless, they died out of thirst. And now they're trying to explain that because he was held to high standards, therefore something like this could happen. It's not inconceivable that he could pass away from thirst or his child from thirst because God is medaktik with his tzadikim, kechuta se'ara. Right, we're going to have another story here. After that, I'll come back again and explain why the Yerushalmi might have the word ben here, because of the contrast with the Bavli. So now we have Maseh b'chassid echad. We have an incident with a chassid. Now a chassid echad, generally, in the Bavli, the Gemara says, a chassid echad is either Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eli. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba is a third generation Tano, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eli is a fourth generation Tano. The story involves here Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is a fifth generation Tano. So that means that if it's Maseh b'chassid echad according to the Bavli, then it almost definitely is Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, the later Tana, because he's interacting with Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, who is younger, is a fifth generation Tana. Otherwise, Maseh b'chassid echad might reflect back onto Chonya Chofer Shichim, which is similar to what happened in the Bavli. We'll speak for that in a second. Sheya Chofer Borot Shichim Me'arot, he used to dig up wells, cisterns, caves, Le'ovrim v'shavim, for travelers, for that they would have water. And he did something that was laudable, something that was considered to be proper, and he was a chassid, someone who acted better than the letter of the law. Correct. Chassid of the Gemara has nothing to do with the chassidut of today. Borrow the word. The word chassid in the Gemara in general means someone who is midaktek ala mitzvot, but also someone who is kind to others, and is lifnim mishurat adin. Pamachat Haita Bito Overet Lihinasei. His daughter was going to, sounds like here, to get married, or whether she was going to present herself to get married, Veshatfa Nahar, and she was swept away by the river. The river crested somehow and took her away. Vavon Kolama Alalin Gabe, and everybody was coming to visit him, Bain Menachamate, in order to console him. They were paying their respects. They were coming to be Menachem Avel. Velo Kibel Idave Nechamta. He would be unwilling to accept any consolation, any comfort. Al Rabbi Pinchas bin Bayir, the Gabay. So here this is why I said Pinchas bin Bayir is involved in the story. He went to visit him. Bain Menachamate. He tried to console him, to comfort him as well. Velo Kibel Ilave Mitnechama. And he didn't accept from him this comfort, this consolation. Amar Lon, he said to the people of the town, Dain Hu Chassid Chon, this is your great chassid, this is your great tzaddik in the city. Here he won't accept the din from HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon him. This is who you call the special person in your neighborhood. Amrin Le, probably should read, not Amru, because Amrin Le, they said back to him, Rebbe, Kach V'kach HaYaoseh. This was his profession, and this is what he did. This is the kindness that he provided for others. V'kach v'kach irele. And this is what happened to his daughter. So he said that it was incongruous, that how could it be possible that this person who provided water and took care of people, that his daughter be washed away by the water. Amar efsha she'ya mechabed et bor'o b'mayim, v'hu mekapcho b'mayim. Possible that he used to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with mekadesh shem shemayim, with water, and then God takes him out with water. Miyad Nafla Havara. So Havara is an echo or a sound. Over here in this context, Miyad Nafla Havara means Shmua. Right, so some say a batkol, bring down that it's a batkol. Others say that it was rumors in the city. Whether it means or there's a commotion in the city. So Miyad Nafla Havara Ba'ir, Bat Bito Sholoto Ish. This man's daughter is coming back. So if it's a batkol, it's giving that information. Otherwise, there's a rumor, there are whispers going around that this daughter's coming back. It amre, some say that she came back because besuchta itarit. Suchta is an anaf or a bough of a tree. She caught on to a bough of a tree and she saved herself. It amre malach irad, a angel came down kidmut Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair ve'etzila, who looked like Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair and saved her. So that's the story that we have in Yerushalmi. There's a similar story in the Bavli. In the Bavli, the story is with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is a first generation Tana, so he's long before Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. As Yerushalmi talks about Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, who is Melumad ben Isim, miracles as well as Chassidut. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa in the Bavli is known for that, especially we'll see that in the Gemara when we get to Tanit. But Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was unique in that. So the Bavli assigns the story to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, whereas our story assigns it to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. The question then is the correlation or the connection between the Chonya Chofer Shichim and the story. If it's Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, it makes sense. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was alive when the Bayit was still in full swing. And if our Mishnah is talking about those people that were working in the Bayit in Beit HaMikdash, then it makes sense that the story is about Chonya Chofer Shichim and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is interacting with him. So therefore, the two stories that Rav Nababli involve, Chonya Chover Shechem and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Over here, you see the story split. In the first story, we talk about a story about Nechonya, Chover Shechem, and the second story is Maseh Chasid Echad. Doesn't tell you who it is. And then you have Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. In all likelihood, because Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair wouldn't have seen Nechonya, Chover Shechem. It would be unlikely that they interacted. Therefore, the Yerushalmi splits them. In the Bavli, there are two stories. One story about Nechonya, Chover Shechem, his daughter, and the other story about his son. Over there it says, same thing to the Bible here, the daughter was saved, but the son died. Of the same person, Nechonya Chofer Shechem. And there the Gemara discusses both things. The idea of Midah Keneged Midah. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says for sure his daughter did not die in a boar. On the hand that his son died, they bring down the psukim that God is Makpid al Chasidav or al Tzadikav al Krovav. So they do it with one person. Over here, the Mishami splits it into two different stories. But thematically, there's the same idea, which is that it's true that when a person acts in a certain way or does a certain amount of chesed, that Hashem protects them from the pitfalls in that area. But also, they have to know that they're held to a higher standard. And that higher standard means that if they deviate from Hashem's way or they create a chilul Hashem in any way, then Hashem takes out his retribution on them immediately, and even maybe through the work that they do. All right, now we move on to the other people in our Mishnah. The next one was Gvinei Kroz. Gvinei was the man who used to make the announcements in the morning, the wake-up call. Shaya Machriz Bebeit HaMikdash. He was the announcer, the wake-up caller in the Mikdash. Mahayo Omer. What did he used to say? Our Gemara has Imdu. The earlier Gersot of the Tveyad of the Yerushalmi don't have the word Imdu in it. Imdu, get up, Kohanim la'avoda, Levim the Duchan, Ubi Israel the Mamad. Kohanim should get up to do their avoda, Levim to come to the Duchan. Duchan is for their shir, for singing and their musical accompaniment. Israel the Mamad are the Jews that represented the Klal Yisrael on the Karbanot Zibur. Those were called the Mamadot. Agrippus Amelech Shemakolo Ad Chet Parsaot. Agrippus HaMelech was traveling, heard his voice 8 parsaot away, v'natano matanot harbe. And he gave him lots of gifts because he was so good at his job and he was proud of him for doing such a great job. Who the Agrippus here is unclear. There are two Agrippus, the Agrippus the first and the second that are late in Bayit Sheni. It's not clear which one we're talking about. We're definitely talking about very late in Bayit Sheni when we're speaking about Agrippus HaMelech. And the Chet Parsaot, the Bavli has parallel sugyot that have 3 parsaot. Others have that are reached until Yericho. They're different sugyot, but the idea being that he was very loud and very good at what he did. Then Ben Giver al Nilat Shiarim. Ben Giver was the one who worked the gates, open and close the gates. Tirgem Rav, Komei Debeit Rabbi Shila. So Rav went ahead and was mitargem before the Beit would be the Talmidim of Rabbi Shila. Rabbi Shila is older than Rav. He's in that generation that sits between the Tanaim and Omarim. The same place, Avua de Shmuel. Rav is at the tail end of that transition between the Tanaim and Omarim. So Rav's probably a little younger. And he went to the Talmidim or the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shila. He was mitargim. What's interesting here is Yerushalmi has Kara Gavra, which is already in Aramaic. He's translating these words. So these words are going to be in Hebrew when he saw them, which was Kara Gever. The words that he's translating are Kara Gever, and he translates them as Achriz Kruza, that he made an announcement, or that he was calling out. Now Kara Gever appears in the Mishnah in Sukkah. There's also Kriyata Gever, which is mentioned in the Mishnah in Yoma. We have the term that appears a number of times in the Mishnah, and the way that Rav interprets it here is Kara Gever, or Kara Gever is Achriz Kruza. Achriz Krozo is that it's a person who announces it. It could be generically a person, or he could be saying Gever, like Ben Gever in our Mishnah. The person Gever was Machriz Krozo. He announced things, and that's the translation of those words. Either way, Rav sees it as being a human being, either some generic person that's going to be calling out, or it means this particular Gever, who was the one, the crier. So that's how he translated. Amrun Lei, it's got to be Amrun because they are many, and he's a singular. So they said back to him, whether the word Amor is, appears or not, it's a question. Kara Tarnagola. Who says that when it says Kara Gever, the Gever means a man. Gever could also be a tarnagol, can be a chicken, a rooster. So why don't you say that Kara Gever means that they're waiting for the call of the rooster? We're talking about early in the morning. We're talking about a wake up. Maybe the call here is not the call of the individual, but rather the call of the rooster. And that's why the Mishnah Yoma that says Kriyat Gever It is a machloket, how to explain kriyat hagever. There is kriyat hagever, the calling of a person, meaning that the wake up, the crier, or is kriyat hagever, the calling of the rooster, when the roosters make their noise in the morning. So they're arguing on him and saying, why don't you translate it that way? Amalei, vataninan, the reason that's brought here is because his proof is from our Mishnah. It says, ben gever. Our Mishnah says that ben gever al hashi'arim. Idlach lamemar bar tarnagola. When you call him bar gever, what are you going to say? That he is the son of a rooster, son of a chicken? So when they use the word gever, gever refers to either the proper name of someone or to an individual. Because if you translate it as a rooster, then over here, when you have ben gever al nilat she'arim, you're going to say, what is it? You called him the son of the rooster? That doesn't make sense. Nobody's going to be called the son of the rooster. Because he was new in the nilat she'arim. So the Bavli, in discussing this, brings proofs to Rabbi Shila's position as well, that in other places we do find that it means rooster. And the Bavli has a slightly different version of this, the Gemara. But Rav's proof is from our Mishnah that gever over here means an individual, not a rooster. Ben bevai al apkia. Ben bevai was in charge of making the wicks. Shaya mazvig is probably the word. They traded twice to get it right. You see that? Both the phrases. Probably a mixture of two, which is mazvig, that he used to be matzmid or mechaber, to tie together, twist the wicks. Mazvig aptilot. And the Gemara tells us in the Bavli, I mentioned this yesterday, that we see this pkia with the gabei, the simchat beta shoeva, and over there they used to use the worn down clothing of the kohanim for the ptilot. Over there it discusses also that he used to make ptilot, thicker ones and thinner ones, the thinner wicks in the winter, so that it burnt off slowly because the nights are longer, and he had the thicker wicks in the summertime where the nights were shorter because they had to burn shorter time. But he had a way, he knew how to do that in order to have the right amount of time for the menorah overnight, depending on the length of the nights. Rabbi Yosei was a fourth generation Amora al Lukufra, which is some section of Tveria or a suburb of Tveria. Bau memanaya aleihon parnasim. He wanted to appoint on them leaders. Leaders either to help them religiously, he saw that they were religiously weak and they needed leaders, or he wanted to appoint leaders to deal with the social issues in the town. Take care of the aniyim, take care of all the other issues, so he wanted to have leaders there. Lo kiblon minhon. They were unwilling. Nobody wanted to volunteer for the position of leadership. They felt it was going to be a burden, and they weren't willing to step up to take care of it or to become those people responsible for the welfare of the community as a whole. Al v'amar komehon, he got up there and dashed in front of them. Bim bevai al apkia, quotes our Mishnah. It says, ma imze all he did was make wicks. He's listed with the Gdolei Ador. Gdolei Ador usually means characters of Tanakh or great Chachamim. People of stature does not necessarily mean religious stature. It could be anybody of stature. So over here, he's listed amongst all these great people, and all he did was twist wicks, and yet he gets a mention in the Mishnah now for thousands of years. Everybody knows his name because he twisted wicks. You who, if you were appointed this position of leadership, would be involved in life and death issues, in serious issues, people of poverty, redeeming captives, all the types of things that you do as a leader of the community, that certainly you will be zocheh to something great. If this is what a wick twister got, then certainly if you get involved, and he was trying to encourage them, to be leaders of the community. Ben Arza al ha-tziltzal. Ben Arza was in charge of the symbols. Ki'adet anina and taman. Like we have the Mishnah over there in Tamid that explains the process for when they were doing the Tamid, when they got the signal to begin the musical accompaniment. It says over there, Hinif askan besudarin. The skan ha-kohen godol used to wave his turban, wave his handkerchief. Ve'kish ben Arza al-tziltzal. And then Ben Arza would give a clap of the symbols, and that would be the sign to start the shir for the Levim. That's when they began the Nisachim, because the Nisachim are the wine libations. We know that Shira goes together with wine libations, so he was signaling them to start, because the wine libations were going on, and that was the proper time for the Shira. Hugris ben Levi al-Ashir, he was in charge of the choir. Amar Rabbi Acha, fourth generation Amora, says, Ni'ima yitera haya yodea. He knew this additional melody, or nigun, whatever it is that he knew, but he had something that was in excess or exceptional versus the others. V'amru alav. Now, whether this is the definition of what they just said before, this is something separate, is alugras ben Levi she'a man'im et kolo b'zemer. that he used to raise his voice, melodious and beautiful voice, in song. And when he used to put his thumb into his mouth, he used to have all these sounds come out. They were nirtaim. They trembled when he did this. They pulled back. They were shocked by the sound. Whether this is the parallel to what we do today, right? People put the fingers in their mouth and then they whistle and it's very loud, extremely loud. It causes you to jump when somebody does that. If that's what they're referring to, so that might be the definition of this ni'ima that he used to do. Or that's separate. I mean, that he both knew how to be melodious, beautiful voice. And in addition to that, he also knew how to blow and make these sounds out of his mouth. Now, minei zemer doesn't sound like a loud whistle. It sounds more like something that is musical in nature. But here, the description sounds more like the whistle when you put your fingers in your mouth and you whistle very loud because of the description of the reaction of the others. The nirtaim, that they are suddenly shocked or they pull back by the sound. That makes it sound like the whistle was extremely loud or whatever he was doing was very loud. The other thing can be, it's just symbolic that they pulled back. They were shocked by how beautiful the sound of his music was. The other thing can be that they threw back their heads means that they began singing in the choir. He was the lead of the choir, and they used to join in. The harmony joined in then. All right, Beit Garmo, Amaseh Lechem Apanim. Here we're going to have two stories that are matched in the Bavli. Zerat Hashem, we'll see them in Yoma again. Same stories from Beit Garmo and Beit Avtinos. One after the other here, the Bishan brings the story similar to the stories in the Bavli. Beit Garmo, Hayu, Bikim, B'Maseh Lechem Apanim. Beit Garmo were experts at making the Lechem Apanim. Uberidiato. They also knew how to scrape it out of the ovens. In their day when they baked bread, the dough was placed on the walls of the oven, and then it used to bake, but then you had to get it off the walls of the oven without leaving behind a lot of the bread on the oven. So ridia was that scraping off of the bread, which was considered a sort of expertise. For lo ratzu lalamed, they didn't want to teach anybody their profession or their expertise. Shalchu chachamim, vevi umanim, me'alexandria, or maybe Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, they brought up people, experts, craftsmen, from Alexandria, that knew how to do Melechem Apanim as well. Mitzrayim was known both for its technological advancement as well as its breads. Those were two things or two areas where Mitzrayim excelled. But how to scrape it out properly, they were not experts. They used to heat up the oven on the inside and then bake the bread on the outside. Probably should be me'apeshet. It did not go bad, meaning it didn't go moldy or get stale. Remember, the Lechem Apanim sat on the Shulchan for a week before it was eaten. So their bread, because of the way they baked it and they scraped it off, never went bad. Ve'elu, ayu mesikim bifnim, brodim bifnim. They used to heat up the oven on the inside and put the bread on the inside. Ve'ta me'apeshet or me'apeshet. Their bread went bad. It went stale and moldy. It did not last. So kevin she'adu chachamim ba'davar. Once the Chachamim heard about this, Amru, whatever Hashem created in His world, He did it for His honor. That means both in the natural world as well as people's talents. People have a certain talent. It's there to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these individuals have this talent with the bread. We got to use them for the Lechem HaPanim because that's a kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneamar, Kol Pal Hashem L'maneu. The puzzle that they're quoting is Kol Pal Hashem L'maneu V'gam Rasha L'yom Ra'ah. And then they're going to quote again. I'm going to read it now. A pasuk from Yeshayahu is Kol HaNikra B'Shmi V'Lichvodiv B'Rativ Yitzartiv Avasitiv. Just like Hashem says, I made all of the creation for my honor, so too, everything that I created, or yitzartiv, that is more like an artisan that I shaped in that way, all of it is for my kavod. So the two psukim, the Gemara is going to quote one of them here and one in the next sugya, but both psukim are the same idea, which is that everything that's there is for kvod Hashem, and therefore if someone has an expertise or a gift, it should be presented to Hashem. So shochu acharehem, they asked for them to return to their jobs. Below Ratzu Lavo, they refused to come. Ad Shikiflu Lahem Skaram, until they doubled their pay. Before it was Yud Bet Maneh Ayunotlim. Before they used to take 12 Maneh. Maneh is 100 zuz. That's 1,200 zuz, which is an exorbitant amount of money. Obviously, it's not per day. That's maybe a year or a long period of time. But Anu Lahem Kavdala, they doubled their pay to 24 Maneh, 2,400 zuz. Yehuda Omer Kavdala Ayunotlim, originally they got 24. Anu Lahem Memched, and in the end they got 48, which is a large sum of money. Amr Lahem, Mipnei Ma Ein Atem Rotzim Lulamed. What's the story with you that you won't teach others your profession, your expertise? So Amr Lahem, Mesorah Tiviyad Eino Me Avotenu. We have a Mesorah from our forefathers. Shabbat Hazeh Atid Licharev. This Bayit Shini is going to be destroyed. Shalo Yimadu Acharim, Ve'yasu Lifnei Avodah Zarah Shalem. So we don't want to teach others because as the bayit goes downhill and there's no longer going to be a Beit HaMikdash, people are going to take this expertise and utilize it towards Avodah Zarah and not towards Hashem anymore. So therefore, we wanted to keep the secret in the family. Obviously, Chazal viewed it as problematic because they were trying to keep a monopoly on this and they were charging for it. That's why the Mishnah and Yoma says B'gnai about them because of that. Again, the Bavli brings the same sukkah as we have here where they defended their positions. And that's why the Gemara has a safek about Zechon Tzadik Livracha, B'shem Yishayim Yirkav, under which one does Beit Garmu fall? Do they fall under the Zechon Tzadik Livracha because they defended themselves here by explaining their position and they did have good intentions? Or do we say no, despite that fact, they should have given it up because they were really doing it lichvodam. They were doing it for their own benefit. B'dvarim alalu maskim aton l'shevach. For this, they for sure are praised, which is the next thing, which is a beautiful thing. Their children never had white bread, never had clean solet for their bread. So it was clear that their children were not beneficiaries of the lechem apanim, that they got nothing from Ekdesh. They wanted to be clean and clear that they did not eat the bread that they were making, and they did not take anything for what they made. They kept separation of their house and the Mikdash, and they did that by never having bread that matched the Lechem HaPanim in the Mikdash, and that they were praised for. Now, Beit Avtinus Amaseach Toret, similar story about Beit Avtinus. Beit Avtinus Ayu Bikiim, here, whether Amaseh probably doesn't fit in, Pitum Aktoret Umbamalei Ashan. They knew how to mix the ingredients of the Ktoret, as well as Malei Ashan. Malei Ashan is one of the ingredients of the Ktoret. They knew that what that was, and that ingredient had a specific effect on the Ktoret, which the Gemara will discuss in a minute. Velo Ratzul Lamed, same problem, they didn't want to teach anybody their expertise or their knowledge. Again, they sent down to Alexandria to bring up professionals who could replace them. Remember, Alexandria is a massive community, a massive Jewish community in Bayit Sheni. The Gemara discusses in Gittin the destruction of Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, about how many people were killed there by the Romans. It's a huge, huge community. The Gemara claims was of 1.2 million people, very large amount. We know from the stories about the shul in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim that it was so big that they used to have to wave flags to tell people where they were in davening to answer amen and what to answer. And they used to sit in the shul according to their professions. We know that there were plenty of professionals down there that they could send for, as well as tremendous wealth down in that community that was sent back to the Mikdash. They sponsored or they paid for a lot of things that went on in the Mikdash. And we'll see that when we get to the Mishnah and Yoma. So now they brought up people from Mitzrayim. Vayu b'kiim b'pitom ha'ktoret. They knew how to mix the ktoret. Malei Hashem lo yu b'kiim. They either didn't know what the Malei Hashem was, or they didn't know how to mix it properly. Shabbat of Tinos Aita Mitameret Voleh. Their Ktoret used to go up straight. Now here you have an addition of a word, may not belong here, but it's telling you the same thing. It's Gimakel. Went up like a staff, straight up. Uposev Yoredet. Then it spread and descended. Like a mushroom cloud, exactly. Shaleo Aita Posem Yad. And the ones from Mitzrayim, they used to spread immediately. It didn't go up straight. Kevin Shadu Chachamim Badavar. As soon as the Chachamim realized that this difference, then Amru Komash Bara Kodesh Baruch Hu Lichvodo Bara. Whatever God created is for His own honor. Shnemar Kol Nikra Bishmi Lichvodi Barativ. That's the pasuk that we quoted before. Yitzativ Afasitiv. That everything that God made in His world, or everything that exists in the world, is for His honor. The pasuk that we quote in Avot. Also over here, even though we don't love what they're doing, but they are experts and they have a special talent, we want to use it for Hashem. They called them back. Again, they didn't want to come back. They were offended by the fact that they were dismissed. Again, until they doubled their pay. Some say you'd bet money. Originally had 12 money, now they got 24. Same thing before. They used to get 24, now they got 48. They asked them the same question. Why don't you want to teach your secrets? So Amru Lehem, Misura Ti Biladeinu Ma'avotenu, Shabayit Hazeh Atid Licharev. We have this Misura that the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed. Shalim Du Acherim, V'yu Osim Kein Lifnei Avodah Zarah Shalem. So people will learn and then use it towards Avodah Zarah instead of towards Hashem. Now, again, B'dvarim Alo Maskim Atan L'Shevach, this item that they do praise them for, Shalo Yatzat Isha Mishel Echad Mehem Bevusemet Me'olam. None of their women went out when they had perfume on, or with any of these spices around them, because of the same chashash, that people should say that they were benefiting from the Ktoret of Mikdash, therefore their women didn't have any sort of aromatic perfume flow out. Right, that works well for the women that are in the family. What happens when they marry someone from another family? Are you posek ima? They used to make an agreement as part of the Tanaim. Amnat shelo tidbasem. It was on a condition that only marry if she would not put on perfume, and she would agree to abide by this minhag of their family. Shelo yehei omrim. This is not found in the Kidveyad, but again, it comes out of exactly the story. It's similar to what we saw before, which is, shelo yehei omrim imasem pitom aktoret mitbasmot. Nobody should be suspicious that the reason that they had this perfume or this spice that was giving over that aroma, that they used the ingredients of the Torah that they were making for the Mikdash. The Kameyim Ashinamar, Vayitim Nikim Hashem and Israel. To be Mikayim, that din of being clean in the eyes of Hashem Israel, the sugya that we saw before, which is that not only do you have to be clean in the eyes of Hashem, you have to also take any suspicion away from others, the problem of Marat Ayin, what people think. Marat Ayin has two aspects to it. Marat Ayin is, number one, that people should not learn from what you do to do wrong. Maradayin also has an aspect of it, which is that people shouldn't see what you're doing and think that you're doing something wrong. So the Vahitim Nikim Ene Hashem Hashem is one aspect of that Maradayin, is that people should think that you're doing right. Obviously, if they learn from you, it's even worse, and that's another aspect of Maradayin. Amar Rabbi Yose Bar Chalafto, fourth generation Tano, says, Ramachat Ayit Omeid B'Yerushalayim, Matzati Tinok Echad Mishal Beit Avtinus. I found one of the young children from Beit Avtinus. Amarti lo, b'ni, meizu mishpachat. From which family are you? Amarti mishpachat ploni. From this family. Obviously, he's answering ploni of Beit Avtinus. Amarti lo, b'ni, avotecha lefishi nitkavnu l'rabot kvodam l'mayet kvod shemayim. Since they wanted to increase their own personal benefit, gain, kavod, and through that diminish the kvod shemayim. V'chach kvodam nitmayet kvod shemayim nitrabeh. So therefore, they were deposed of, they lost out. That's why you're out here in Yerushalayim. And they don't have any more kavod. And kvod shemayim nitrabeh. Kvod shemayim continues and is fine. It was not diminished by them because now you no longer hold that sway or monopoly over the din. I'm Rabbi Akiva Sachli Shimon ben Loga. Rabbi Akiva says, I had this story was told to me by Shimon ben Loga. Mlaketa iti asavim. Shimon ben Loga says, I was collecting grasses, herbs. Ani, betinokachal mishal beit avtinus. I and another child who was from the family of beit avtinus. Rioti oto shebuche. I saw that he was crying. Rioti oto shetsochek. That he was laughing. Marti lo, bni, lama bachita. Why did you cry? Amali, al kvod shebeit abash nitmait. And because our family has lost their standing, because we're no longer needed in the Mikdash, therefore, we've lost our standing, and so that's why I'm crying. Lama sichakta? Why did you laugh? Amarli akavod ametukan latzadikim latid lavo. For the reward for the tzadikim in the future, possibly he believed that, or what he saw was his family was going to come back to work in the Mikdash latid lavo, and that's why he was laughing. Laughing here doesn't mean laughing like the sense of comical, but laughing in the sense of happiness. Maraita. He says, what did you see here? What are you doing over here? He says, Malei Hashan Lenegdi. Malei Hashan is found over here. That's why I'm over here. Nomiti lo said to him or whispered to him, Bini, Herhawali, why don't you show me this Malei Hashan? Malei Rebbe Mesorat V'yadi Me'abutai. I have a Mesorah in my hands from my forefathers. Shelo Laharoto L'Brayhu. I'm not allowed to show it to anybody on the outside. It's a familial secret and I can't show it to you. I'm sorry. What's interesting about this story is Rabbi Kiva tells a story about Shimon ben Loga, about a story about a young child who cries and laughs. And we know that that is the trademark of Rabbi Akiva, both in the story in Makot, when he goes to the Beit HaMikdash and everybody else is crying and he is smiling or laughing. Also with regards to the wife of Tunis Rufus, where the Dorim says that Rabbi Akiva laughed and cried over there. And you see that Rabbi Akiva has this style about him, about the laughing and crying in contrast at the same time. Question is, if when he's telling this story, is this earlier in his life? And this is what taught him this idea that he learned it from here? Or this is Rabbi Akiva and the genre of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the story is told over about someone crying and laughing. Question of cause and effect here, but it's interesting that it's mentioned in the context of Rabbi Akiva. And another story, which another Tana, Rabbi Yochanan Menori, a third generation Tana, Pagabi Zakein Echad Mishal Beit Avtinus. I bumped into an elder from the family of Avtinus. Over here, the Girsa has Migilat Smanim Biyato. He had the recipe book for the Torah in his hands. That was probably added in later because of the end of the story. Over here, it doesn't say anything. It just says, Amarli Rebbe, Lishabar, the past, are you Beit Abat Snuim? My family was a good family. They were protective and they did the right things. And they passed down this recipe book from one to the other. That's why it got added in earlier that he's had a recipe book in his hand, because here it's clear that's what he has. Vakshav She'ein Ne'emanim is probably the girsa that should be here. We have She'ein on Beit Abba Ne'emanim, it's an addition of words. but that now that they're no longer reliable, or they're not necessarily tzaddikim and chassidim anymore, heilech et amigilah, take it. You should keep it for safekeeping. Bizarba, be careful with it. Ukshabati v'etzeti dvarim lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, when I came and told over the story before Rabbi Akiva, zalgu einav dimaot. He teared up. Amar me'ata einanu tzuchim laskiram negnai. We don't have to now mention them negatively because he broke the code of silence. This person, Beit Avtinus, broke the code of silence and gave over the recipe book to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. But more importantly, he realized that family was only allowed to keep the secret when they were qualified and proper and appropriate to keep the secret. And he realized when that broke down that they had to pass it outside the family and not keep it inside the family because of that. So he understood that the kvod Shemayim came first, and that's why he protected and gave it over to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. We don't have the end of the story, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri did with that, where it got passed down. Elazar took care of the parochet. Sheya mumuneh al orgei parochet. He was in charge of those that weave the parochot. There we have the mishnayot that we saw, that it took 300 kohanim to carry them. They were so heavy after they put them in the mikveh. They used to replace the parochot on a regular basis. Pinchas amalbish. Sheya malbish bigdei kohuna gedola. And he used to dress the kohen. He used to make the clothing for the kohanim gedolim and take care and address them. So now, maaseh b'kohen echad. So this is a story, it's showing to show you how important it is to be the person who clothes important people. So one kohen, shilbish li'is stratiot. Stratiot is some military position, a higher Roman, a military official, mas stratiot echad, v'natan lo shmona zuvim. He paid him 8 gold coins for this, v'damin trey asar yavile, that he gave him 12 gold coins, which again was a large sum of money. But you see the importance of dressing or taking care of those that are chashuvim, and that's what Pinchas HaMalbish took care of, the dressing the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol, both in terms of making sure that they had the right clothing, as well as making sure they had the clothing made properly. All those things were part of the Pinchas HaMalbish's job. Now we have the next Mishnah. Ein pochatin mishiva armkolim. We have no less than 7 armkolim. Now here, armkolim is not defined, but it's a term, a person of power or in charge. Some translate it as a contraction of amar kol. He says, by him goes everything. They say what goes. So that's maybe the possibility. Shlosha gizbarim, 3 treasurers. Venosim sfera latzibor pachot mishnayim. You can't have dominion or rulership over the tzibur less than 2. Chutz mi ben achya, shecholim me'ayim, took care of the stomach ailments, velazar shal haparochet, shotan kiblu rov tzibur lehem, because the tzibur accepted them as being unique or individuals. So it's important that when you have people in positions of power and they want to go make demands of the tzibur, or they're running a show, they should have 2 people, mostly because of trust, the issue of trust, that one person can do a lot of bad, 2 people have to collude to do bad, so it's worse. 3 people is always even better. People tend to not, when they reach the number of 3, do as bad. I mean, each person that you add on lessens the likelihood that everybody's in on the problem. So over here, again, when the Gemara in Bava Batra talks about collecting tzedakah, talks about that when you collect tzedakah and you distribute tzedakah, that has to be done with 2 or 3 people. And again, because you can't impose on the tzibur without bringing more than 1 person to do the job. And same with distribution of the monies of the tzibur, it should be done in such a manner. So here too, the Gemara is describing how the treasury and the mikdash worked. Treasury and mikdash involved all these people. With the exception of 2 of the people mentioned in our Mishnah, who were individuals who ran the show because they were accepted by the tzibur. The tzibur accepted him. Similar to Rabbi Akiva by the Aniyim, that he was considered the God by Aniyim. People accept him as being okay to do it on his own. Ein pochatim migimel gizbarim umazayin arvgolim. Tane. We have a braita. Mishnei katalikim, yet 2 katalikim. Hadahu dichtiv. That is what is meant in the pasuk. And now we're going to quote the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim that lists out people and what seemingly are jobs. And so the Gemara is going to explain that to say what's in our Mishnah. So it says in the pasuk, Vichiel ve'azazyahu menachat vaseel v'rimot v'yozavad v'liel v'yismachyahu umachat ubnayahu kidim miyad kananyahu v'shimi achiv v'mifkad yichizkiyahu amelech v'zaryahu negid beit alukim. That's the whole pasuk. And now the Gemara is going to break the pasuk down and tell you what is each of these individuals. Hadar duchtiv. That is what is meant by the pasuk v'chiel. The pasuk really says azazyahu. Right? They change it here to uziyahu. V'nachat gizbarim. They were the gizbarim. So they're the first 3 people mentioned in the pasuk. They are the gizbarim. So that's the first 3 people mentioned in the pasuk. Gizbarim, what the Mishnah says, you have 3 gizbarim, you have 3 treasurers. Then you have vasael, v'rimot, Ve'yozavad ve'eliel ve'yismachyahu u'machat u'vanayahu, which are seven individuals, they are the Amkulim that are mentioned in our Mishnah, the seven Amkulim. Then Pikidim Miyad, they were placed under the supervision of Kananyahu v'Shimi Achiv, these are the Katilokim that we just mentioned here, these two Katilokim that were in charge. B'mifkad Yechizkiyahu HaMelech v'zayu Negid Beit Elokim, that's HaMelech v'Kohen Gadol. Yechizkiyahu is obviously the king, and then Azariyahu Negid El Beit Elokim is the Kohen Gadol. Kishu Chotem, when they wanted to seal up the treasury, this is how they did it. Ha-Gizbar Chotem, the Gizbar puts his seal on it, the treasurer puts his seal on it, and told Amkol, and he gives it over to one of the Amkolim, Amakal Chotem. And then he seals it with his seal. But no, the Katilokim, then he gives it to the Katilokim who's above the Amkol, the Katilokim Chotem, then he, Katilokon, he seals it. But no, the Kohen Gadol, then he gives it to the Kohen Gadol, the Gadol Chotem, then the Kohen Gadol seals it. No, the Melech, and then they give it to the king to seal. So the king's seal is on top. You go from the lowest to the highest in terms of stature when you're sealing it up. Shumatir, when they wanted to open up the treasury, then Melech Roe Chotmo, king sees if it's his seal, Umatir, and he opens it up. Kohen Gadol Roe Chotmo, he sees his seal, Umatir, and opens it up. Katilokim Roe Chotmo, one of the Katilokim sees their seal, and he opens it up. Umatir, Amkal Roe Chotmo, one of the Amkolim sees his seal, and he opens it up. Umatir, Matir, and then the treasurer opens it up. The same process in verse. Here you start from the biggest to the lowest because the one who gets in there in the end is the Gizbar. The treasurer has to go in there and he's at the bottom. So that's the way that they used to seal it up and open it up to ensure the safety and security of the Shkalim or the Otsrot, the treasuries of the Mikdash. We don't have the word Mamon in our Mishnah. It's interesting that the Gemara ended it over here. That with money, you don't have two people come to the tzibur, or less than two people come to the tzibur. Rav Nachman b'shem Rabbi Mano. Rav Nachman, we know from Bavel, who is a Talmud of Shmuel in Bavel. He is one of the Dayanim in Bavel. But over here, if the girsa is actually Rabbi Nachman, not the Rabbi Nachman that's being sung about all around here in Eretz Yisrael today, but Rabbi Nachman was an Amora in Eretz Yisrael in the fifth generation, b'shem Rabbi Mano, who is a fifth generation Amora as well. So then that Rabbi Nachman is not the same Rabbi Nachman that we know from the Bavli, but the Rabbi Nachman of Eretz Yisrael. Al Shem, Vehem Yechut Azav, Vet Atechelet V'Dargaman. The reason that you have to have a minimum of two is because the Pasuk says, Vehem and Yechu, everything's written in the plural. To tell you, Vehem Yechut Azav, Vet Atechelet V'Dargaman, these are donations to the Mishkan. Those donations to the Mishkan have to be collected by two people. Amar Rabbi Chama Beribi Chanina. So Rabbi Chama, the son of Chanina, who is a second generation Amora, mipsolet shaluchot heshir Moshe. Moshe got rich from the leftovers of the luchot. Hadar uchtiv, that's what it says about the luchot ashniot. Psal lecha shnei luchot avanim. You broke them. You got to fix them. You carve out the new luchot. Hashem says to Moshe, psal lecha. What does it mean? Psal lecha. Psal over there means to chisel out to form the luchot. But here the Gemara dashes say hapsolet shalcha. Psal lecha means the psul is for you. The leftover is the parts that you don't use, that you're chiseling off, that is yours, and therefore it's made out of an expensive stone, and therefore the leftovers became his, and that's how he got rich. Amar Rabbi Chanin machzev shel avanim tovot u'margaliot barlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitocho alo. That he had a quarry of jewels and diamonds that were in his tent, u'mena hishir Moshe, and that's how he got rich, because of this mine that was down there that had all these goodies inside of it. Tiv, v'bitu achrei Moshe, it says that they used to look after Moshe until he reached the tent. Train Amoraim. We have two Amoraim that discuss what they thought. You know, why were they looking behind Moshe until he got to his tent? One says it's positive, one says it's negative. One says it's negative. Chamon Shakin. Chamon means to look at his shok. Chamon Karin, look at his legs. Look at his thigh, look at his legs. Chamon Kupad, look at his skin. Acham min diudai, v'shati min diudai. He eats our food, he drinks our drink. Kol min delei min diudai. Everything that he owns comes from us. And then Moshe's getting fat on being the leader here and using up our money and taking all of our money. So therefore that was the negative view of why they were looking after Moshe, whispering to one another, look at him. He's taking all our stuff and getting fat on it. Madam Rada Shevach said that they were looking at him positively. Machmetza digaya, mazake tuvya, dezachad amech meyate. So look at that tzaddik. Mazake tuvya, how lucky are we that we had the chance to see him. Just to get a glimpse of his back was enough to be excited about to see such a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. Here you have a positive statement about Moshe, depending on how you view the Am looking after Moshe. But again, the idea that Moshe was wealthy also cast dispersions on his success and his wealth as coming from the tzibur rather than his own. And here the Gemara says that the reason that Moshe was rich had nothing to do with his running or leading Bnei Yisrael, but rather on his own accord, because either psalacha or because Hashem granted him the mine inside of his tent. All right, next Mishnah. Dalet chotamot ayu b'migdash. In the Mishnah previously we saw Yochanan ben Pinchas was ala chotamot. So Yochanan ben Pinchas was in charge of these slips. Then when you went in to buy your nesachim, you went and paid him for the slip, and then he gave you a slip to go deliver to his compatriot, Achyo, who is in charge of the nesachim. Then you gave her the petak to him, and he provided you the right nesach, because there are different nesachim. In the Torah, there are actually three levels of nesachim. One level of nesach is for a keves, and that category, which are the young, small flock animals. There you bring a revi'ita hin, a quarter of a hin. A hin is 12 log. So a quarter of a hin would be 3 log of shemen, and then you bring an isaron solet. As you get to a bigger animal, like an ayo, a ram, there you bring a shlishita hin, a third of a hin, which is 4 log, and shnei esronim, 2 isaron solet. Once you get to the biggest animal, a par, for a par you bring a chatziah hin, 6 log, and you bring shlosha esronim solet. So you can't just come in and say, I need a nesach. You have to specify the nesach. And that's what the Mishnah describes over here. But dalet chotamot ayu b'migdash, there were 4 chotamot b'migdash, k'tuv alayhen. And this is what's written on them. Egel is 1, zachar is 2, zachar referring to ayo, gdi, and choteh. So those were the 4 different tekim in order to know which nesach that you needed. But as I omer, hey hayu, first of all, there were 5. Varamit k'tuv alayhen. And they were written in Aramaic and not in Hebrew. Egel, it probably should be Egel if it's really written in Aramaic, but Egel, the cap, Dachar, instead of Ayel, Dachar is the Aramaic translation. Gedi, and Choteh Dal, and Choteh Ashir. Poor person, and a Choteh Ashir, Choteh for the rich person. So we'll see in a second what that refers to. Egel, Mishamesh, Im Nischei, Bakar, Gdolim, Uktanim, Zacharim, and Ukevot. Egel is used for the Nisachim of Bakar, of the cows, or the cattle family. Whether they're big or small, male or female, they all get the same nesek, which is the largest nesek that you can bring. It's chatziahin, 6 log, as well as shlosha esruni. Gidi, mishamesh, im nechse tzon, is for tzon, gidolim, tanim, zkarim, nekevot, chutz, mishalelim. That takes care of all the flock animals, no matter how big or small, no matter what gender, exception of the ayo, of the ram, which is a 2-year-old sheep. That's the only exception. Otherwise, you get those nesachim. Those nesachim are the smallest nesach, which is revi'itayim, which is 3 log, and 1 isaron solet. Ayo, mishamesh, im nechse elim bilvat. The ayo is for the elim. Elim have a special category of nesach. They bring shlishitayim, which is 4 log, and shnei esronim. Choteh. What do they do with choteh? Mishamesh, im nechse shlosh b'emot shel mitzorah. Choteh was for the 3 animals that the rich person brought the carbonot for his being nitahar by mitzorah. But mitzorah brings 3 carbonot. He brings an asham mitzorah, and he brings an olah, and he brings a chatat. So those are the 3 carbonot that he brings. For a person who's wealthy, he brings an animal for each one of those carbonot. So now he needs nesachim for all 3 of the animals that he's going to bring, a chatat, the olah, and the asham. Mishum mevakesh nesachim, someone who wanted to buy these nesachim, olech loetzel Yochanan, goes to Yochanan, who's in charge of the chotamot, shu mumune al chotamot, noten lo ma'ot, he pays him, mekabal mimenu chotam, and then he gets from him one of these takim, one of these tickets, baloetzel achya, shu mumune al nesachim, he comes to Achya, who's in charge of nesachim, noten lo chotam, he gives him the slip, mekabal mimenu nesachim, and he gets whatever is written on there, that's what he gets. La'ariv, at night, ba'in ze itzel ze, then Yochanan and Achya get together, and they check if the money equals the chotamot. And if it was too light, meaning there was less money than chotamot, then he had to pay out of his house. If there was more money than tickets that were submitted, Hotiru Lekdesh. Lekdesh gets the benefit of that. Yet Ekdesh always gets the benefit. So if it's to the benefit of Ekdesh, they keep it. If it's to the detriment of Ekdesh, then Yochanan has to fill in, has to pay out of his house to take care of it. Someone who lost his chotam, he says, I lost it, I don't know what happened to it. You wait till nighttime. And they reconcile, and they see that there's a deficit of one chotam, then they know that that's his chotam that was missing. If they didn't find that differential, they didn't give it to him. The date was written on him, Mipnei HaRamayim, because of the thieves. The thieves mean that they're going to find the ticket and then go and submit it and use it for themselves. That's number one. Number two is, if on the day that you were supposed to bring it, that day they had extra money, and that went to the Migdash. Then the next day he comes in and they bring in that Chotam, and now there's an extra Chotam there. And now he's going to have to pay out of his house. So meantime, if you reconcile the 2 days together, it would have been net even. But now, if you bring it the next day, Yochanan's going to have to pay out of his house, and Hekdesh is the beneficiary of that difference. So in order to prevent that type of behavior, they put the date on it, and they know to reconcile it with the previous day rather than with today. For Rabban Azai, why does he need the Chotet Dao? Chotet Dao is a Mitzorah Dao. Mitzorah Dao only brings an Asham Mitzorah, and he does not bring the Olah and the Chatat. So what exactly does he need this Chotam for? Why is it different? He can just get a chotam of gdi, and he'd be done. He brings a keves for his asham, so he gets a chotam of a gdi, and he'd be done. Why does he have to have a special type of chotam that's different than the regular gdi? So the Gemara says, Hayamivi logo imo, that he used to get his log shemen. The Mitzorah not only brings the nisachim, but he has to bring a log extra of shemen, which he uses to put on his thumbs and on his toes, and that the coin sprinkles towards the Mikdash, meaning that there's an extra avodah that is done with oil, and he had to pick that up as well. He used to get his log filled there also. So the chotam of the chotet dal tells you to give him not only the nesach of a gdi, but also give him the extra log shemen that he needs. Baram, kirabinan, how do we explain the Rabbanan's position? Rabbanan's position, say they don't have a special one. Mivi gdi. He uses the chotam of a gdi. So the chachamim disagree and say that a poor person will not buy the log shemen, he'll bring it from his house because it's cheaper to bring it from home than it is to buy it in the mikdash. So therefore, they don't think you need a separate ticket for the mitzorani, because Mitzorani just get the one, the Gdi, and he's done, and he'll bring his own log from his house. He's not going to buy the log. So then why do they need it for the Mitzorah Shir? Mitzorah Shir, just give him the 3 Ptakim for the animals that he's getting, and he'll have the Nisachim that he needs. No, because the Mitzorah Shir, according to Chachamim, will buy the log, because he's buying so much in the way of Nisachim. Plus, Log Shem, he says, that little extra, I'll pay for it, and I won't bother to bring it from the house. He's willing to expend the extra money, and therefore he will buy the log, and that's why they need a separate ticket for him, whereas the Ani will bring the log from his house, because that's more economical. Now, Nisrei Rachel Ma. What is the din with regards to a Rachel? So here we add in our Mishnah, and it's the way the Torah explains it, is that you have a Keves. Keves is a young sheep in its first year. An Ayol is a sheep in their second year. And we saw in the Mishnah, and in the Torah as well, there's a difference between the Nisachim of a Keves and the Nisachim of an Ayol. But the Gemara wants to know, is that only true by males? Ayol is a male, it's a ram. On the other hand, what happens by a Rachel, a ewe? If you have a Kivsa, which is a young ewe, and then you have a Rachel, which is the equivalent of a ram, a older ewe, a second 2-year-old ewe, what's the din? Does a Rachel get its own Nesach like the Ayol? Or does it still in the category of the kivsa? Minha detanina. You can learn it out of our Mishnah. Gedi mishamesh. What do they do with gedi? Nixay tzon, gedolim, tanim, zcharim, and yukevot. It says that you take it for the tzon, for the flock animals, big, small, male, female. No differential over there. Only exception was the ayol. Ayol was the only thing left out, so the rachel was included in that category, and the rachel, or the ewe, was brought with like a kivsa, the equivalent of a kivsa, which is the gedi. Hadamri, nixay rachel, that's why we say that the nisachim of the Rachel are like the nisachim of the Gdi. Dichtiv, because now we can prove it from the pasuk. This is a brayta that we're going to learn. Pasuk: Kacha yaseh l'shor ha'echad, o la'ayel ha'echad, o la'sev ba'kvasim, o b'izim. So here, this pasuk is completely extraneous because the Torah and Parshat Shlach already laid out for you all of the nisachim. And then has a summary pasuk that says that this is what you do for the shor, the ayel, the sek, vasim. And the Izim. What do you mean? Of course, that's what you do. You just had all those psukim that told you what you do. So now the Gemara is going to darshan each one of them. So lama ne'amar. So why is it said? Magid. Shelo chilik ben nichsei egel and nichsei shor. The first one, kachal yaseh l'shor ha'echad, they're reading as shor echad. All shvarim are one. So it doesn't matter if you're talking about a calf, or you're talking about a shor, which is a large cow. Either one, they get the same nisachim. Sheya bedin. I would have thought Ben had sown to own nisachim, or Ben and Bakar to own nisachim. The cattle require nisachim, and so do the flock animals. Imatzanu shechileik ben nixay keves and nixay ayel. When it comes from the flock animals, we differentiate between a youngster and a two-year-old. So kach. So over here, nachlok ben nixay egel and nixay shor. We should differentiate between a calf and a cow or a bull. Tamalomar kacha yaseh lashor echad. That's what the puzzle comes to teach you. No differentiation. Magich lo chilek ben nixay egel and nixay shor. There's no differentiation between the egel and the shor. Oh, the ayo, lama ne'amar. Okay, the continuation of that pasuk, what do you need that for? Sheyabedin. Im matzanu, chilek ben yechsei ben shana, ben yechsei ben shnatayim, by the flock animals, by keves. You have a sheep that brings a certain nesech, and then you have an ayo that brings a larger nesech. So, kach nachlok ben yechsei shnatayim, yechsei shalosh. Maybe we should have another gradation, which is from 1 year old to 2 year old we change, maybe from 2 year old to 3 year old we should also have to increase the nesech. Tamalomar, oh, the ayo echad. So that's why the puzzle tells you the Eilecha, that all Elim, that's it. Elim get one, that's the only differentiation there. There's no other differentiation. Ola seg b'kvasim. What does that come to teach you? Lama ne'mar. She'abedin. Again, you would have a kamachomer. Im matzanu. Shechileg ben nechsei keves and nechsei ayo. By the way, they differentiate between sheep and rams. V'kach nachlok ben nechsei kizba v'nechsei rachel. What we just asked in the Gemara, maybe we should differentiate between a young you and an older you, a two-year-old you. Tamad omar. Ola seh bekvasim comes to teach you, the seh kvasim means all seh get one thing. All kvasim get one thing, whether it's male, female, big, small, they all get one. And so therefore, the Rachel has no differentiation from the kibsa. Obizim, lama ne'amar, where does the obizim come to teach you? Sheyabedin, again, a kal v'chomer. Im matzanu, shechilek ben nechsei keves le nechsei ayil, they differentiated between the young sheep and the ram. V'kach nachlok ben nechsei gdi l'nechsei tayish. We should differentiate between a kid and a goat. Same way, a kid in the first year and a goat in its second year. Tamad lomar, o b'izim. Hekish katan sh'b'izim l'gadol sh'b'tayishim. It says, izim is all one. Big, small, doesn't matter. Kid, goat, it's all the same. Ma, zeh b'shloshet lugim, av zeh b'shloshet lugim. Just like this one's with three log, so too this is three log. Three log is because it's a rivi'it ahin. Keves, gdi, all get revi'itahin. Revi'itahin is 12 logs, so a quarter of that is the 3. That's the smallest nesek you can bring, is the 3 log. V'shem ayom ha'ketuv, the date was written on the petek. So Gemara says, agatz mecha, you should be careful. Shezivag oto hayom. What is he going to do? Zivag, zivag means to pair. What he's going to do is wait to that date in the following year. So shem ha'mishmar haya ketuv alav. So what they did is they didn't just have the date, they had the name of the mishmar that was servicing. And since the cycle of Mishmarot was not exact, there were 24 Mishmarot, so in a cycle, you're never going to end up with the same date in the following year. So then maybe he can match it up. He got the date, the Mishmar, he'll wait for it. Shem Ayom, Shem Shabbat, Shem Chodesh, Ayah Ketuv Alayhen. Had the day of the week, then the date of the month, the Mishmar. So Afilu Rotzila Zaveg, Inu Matzila Zaveg. So even if he wanted to try to match it up, he could never match it up. There are too many variables here that would not match up again. If they had the same day of the week, the same date in the month, the same mishmar, and all of those together, you're never going to match all of those up. And that's how they protected against those thieves or those cheaters. So we'll stop over here.